Sometimes you, I think about, you know, like every week we work really hard at making sure this all goes without distraction Sunday morning. People come early and people, you know, get ready and everything is planned out. And we try and keep it all smooth and neat and no distractions. And then you get days like today where you, you know, wake up in the morning and I go look out my window and it looks like I got a little bit of snow on my window. So I don't worry about it. And I get out to go leave for church and there's ice this thick. You got to start the car and then you're running late and you're scratching and then you get here and you're throwing salt everywhere. And just so like this morning, I just know this, and this is what I remember whenever we have a morning like this morning, is that we don't just gather to be a club. We don't just gather to just say hi to each other. But we gather to be in the presence of the Lord, because that's what makes the big difference in our life. We don't just do Sunday mornings as a tradition. We do it because we actually need it. I need Sunday mornings. I need to be together with you. I need to be encouraged. I need to be built up. I need to encourage. I need to pour out my life, you know, on each of you. And so this morning, I just really think on these mornings that were kind of more difficult to get to, that we could trust that God's going to do something even more special than what he does on just normal mornings. You know? So today we're gathered together as a family. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God's plan for the ages, right? This was not just a last-minute thing that came up. Oh, there's a nice little baby. Let's make him Jesus and let's save the world through him. No, God planned, plotted, strategized, prophesied, set it up in such a way that Jesus could come and break the curse of sin and death to defeat Satan, excuse me, and to pour out life upon us. We sing these songs, you know, our comforter, our all in all, here in the cross of Christ, right? In that victory that we have in Christ, sometimes we just forget how powerful he is, how wonderful he is. When Ed said this morning, wonderful, I never noticed the comma before. I always thought it was wonderful counselor, but just wonderful. He's wonderful. He's our God. He's our King. He saved me. He saved you. We need to be in awe. You know, we've been talking about the Christmas story. We've been talking about the plan of bringing Jesus to earth and for Jesus to come and die and what kind of people that God was looking for in those days to usher in his coming. But I think that the biggest prerequisite for us is that we are hungry for him, that we thirst for him, that we long for him, that we search for him, that our hearts are truly and completely turned toward him. We can get so busy with so many other things that do not mean anything. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Zippo. Nothing. We can have the nicest house. We can have the nicest car. We can have the nicest family. We can have the nicest everything. But if we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything. We have nothing. So on these days, when we fight to get to church, when we struggle to get here, when we got to chip the ice and melt the snow and maybe even take a few chances when we're driving, is because God wants us to be with him together in this place. So just this morning, Lord, we come. And Lord, on this morning that's special because we're so close to celebrating your birth, but special because, Lord, we all made a bigger effort to get here. Lord, we just ask that your presence would be even more, Lord, evident in the room. Lord, that you would speak even more clearly, Lord, and that we would, Lord, enjoy, Lord, this time even more than usual. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as we're going through this series, we're talking about, you know, Jesus' return. And I want to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart. Jesus is coming back again. And it's very possible that it could be in our lifetime. It's very possible it could be today. Wouldn't you love to see Jesus today? Wouldn't you love to just like you know, be pulling, you know, walking out of the old sanctuary here, heading toward the cakes and the goodies that we have afterwards, and all of a sudden just instead be in front of Jesus. Wouldn't that be so awesome? Wouldn't that be so good? It would be awesome. Well, maybe we could wait till after the cake. No. No, we'll have cake in heaven too. But we get to see Him. We get to be with Him. Like, think about it. Think about it. No more sin. No more death. No more pain. No more struggle. No more worries, right? No more of that. All of a sudden, all the weight of this world just lifts off us and we stand in the presence of the Lord. That's the promise of Scripture. That even in these dark days, even in these days, you know, like, these are dark days. These are not great days in the earth right now. These are dark days. There's a lot going wrong. There's a lot bad happening. There's a lot, you know, that people are worried about. It was the same when Jesus came. When Jesus was born, these were dark days. These were not good days on the earth. Rome was, like, treacherous. Rome was brutal. Rome was, like, ruling the world. And people were just wanting to be out from under the oppression of a tyrannical government, a tyrannical king. Like, they wanted to be away from it. Everybody was wishing. Everybody was thinking. Just like, you know, like, and that's one of the things about the second coming of Jesus. Every time times get hard, we think, well, this has got to be it because times have never been this bad. Like, I think about, you know, my mom, you know, grew up in the war. I know Nick did too. I think there's probably others here that grew up in the war in Holland. And the things that they lived through and the things that they saw were just horrible. Like, and you would think in those days, these are the darkest times that have ever been. But there is a day right now where we're living in dark times. But the Bible teaches this really clearly. In the dark, the light will shine even more brightly. You know, like, I could light up a candle in here and you really won't notice much of the light from it. But if it's pitch black in here, I light a candle, you can see it'll bring a lot of light to the situation. And in these dark days, God's called us to be a light in this world. Sometimes we want the situation to be perfect. We want things to be good. We want things to be easy. And truth is, in life, things generally aren't easy. How many of you ever found life is always easy and always perfect? I'm still searching here for a hand. It's not, right? Like, realistically, things happen. Bad things happen. Good things happen. There's days where you couldn't be more happy. Like, I remember one day I was sitting there just thinking about Christine and the kids and the church. And I was thinking, life couldn't be any better than this. And then within a week after that, things had gone so hard that I was like, oh, God, just take me, you know. So we all go through these ups and downs, and we're like, but Jesus came to the earth so that we never have to go through it alone, so that we would never, ever be alone again. He said that He would never, ever leave us comfortless. He would send the Holy Spirit to be with us. I'm way off to this morning, my subject, but I really, really want you to think about that God is with us. In John 1, it says that Jesus, in the Message Bible, says that Jesus became flesh. God became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. He's with us. He's not far away. He's nigh unto us. The Bible said, and if we want Him to be nearer, we should draw nearer to Him. And so, like, in these days that we're living in, I encourage you to draw near to God. You know, we sing a song, and I think it's probably in the Bible too, but it's in His presence, there's joy forevermore. You know, in His presence, there's a whole bunch of stuff. We used to sing it. My memory is like a little bit of holes in it here and there. But we sing these songs, but they're true. In the presence of the Lord, all this stuff falls away. You know, like, there's so many things in our life that we just carry alone. When if we would just get in the presence of God and be with Him, these things would fall away. We wouldn't have to do it alone. We wouldn't have to carry the weight alone. I know if you're going through stuff, it's hard. I know when you're going through family problems and you see people in your own family suffering, it's hard to watch. It's hard to believe. It's hard to It's hard to be joyful in those days. It's hard. But if we get in the presence of the Lord and we trust in Him, He'll take care of us. And He'll take care of it. He will take care of us. Jesus drew near to us. When He came to earth, it was God's plan that He would come through a virgin. We talked about Mary and her courage and her faith and in her obedience to God. We talked about all that. And He came here, though, because He had a plan. His plan wasn't to stay in a cradle. It wasn't to stay that cute little Precious Moments baby in a cradle with the little, you know, Precious Moments angels hanging over Him. It wasn't that. It was that He was going to come and He was going to live and He was going to die. And then He was going to raise again with power and authority, a name above every name. Power above all powers. We have that name. We have that power now. It's at our disposal. It's for us. We are now named heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. We're brothers. He's our brother. We are now connected to Him as a family. Right? You can do a lot of things. And there's a lot of things in life that I've learned. But when you like, I have two brothers. You could bug me, you could mess with me, and I could handle that generally. You know, like once in a while I get ticked off and I'll be spitting at my windshield when I leave you and just like, you know, growly. Right? But you mess with my brothers, now you're talking problems, right? I could easily forgive what you do to me. I have a harder time forgiving what you did to my brother. Jesus is my brother. And He looks at me the way I look at my brothers. And He's going to take care of me the way I take care of my brothers. He will take care of me the way. He's my big brother. He's your big brother. He's with us. Little bug. Anyway. Like that kid playing soccer, eh? Chasing butterflies. Anyway, I don't even know why I said all that. I love the Lord more than anything. So this is what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And we are now able to comfort one another. Jesus is coming. Isn't that awesome? I know this. I know it. And I'm happy about it. I'm excited about it. I don't know when. I'm not even going to start down that road. Like, I'm serious. You want to find that out? Listen to Jack Van Impe or one of those boys, and they'll give you a little bit of an idea what they think. And I don't know. I honestly don't. But in my heart, I hear my heart calling out to Him. In Revelations, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Right? He who is thirsty, say, come. And I'm saying, Jesus, come. Not because I want to, I'm tired of this world. I just long to be with Him. So He promised us He would come. I know that we could be cynical about it. I've talked about this the last couple of weeks, about the cynicism and the reasons behind it, but really, we need to really believe and really be aware and really focus on the fact that Jesus could come back any day. Jesus could return any day. And that matters because there's lots of people we know that need to know Jesus, that need to know Him. And this is what it says in 2 Peter 3. It says, He isn't really, that is, God is not really being slow about His promised return. Even though it sometimes seems that way. But He is waiting for the good reason that He's not willing that any should perish. And He is giving more time for sinners to repent. The day of the Lord is surely coming, as unexpected as a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise. And the heavenly bodies will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be burned up. Dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, and for Him to come, try hard to live without sinning. Be at peace with everyone so that He will be pleased with you when He returns. And remember why He is waiting. He is giving us time to get His message of salvation out to others. This is what he said. He's not willing that any should perish, and that we should be like looking forward to his return. I want to be at peace with everyone. Try hard to live without sin. Be at peace with everyone so that he will be pleased with you. So God loves you, right? He does. I love my kids. I love Levi and I love Logan. I love them a lot. But I'm not always pleased with them. My love for them will never change, but my pleasure in them sometimes does change. I don't know about you, but when I stand before Jesus, I want him to be pleased with me. I want him to love me, but I also want him to take pleasure in me. And so that's why the Bible says to live in such a way that he can. So last week we talked about Joseph, the father of Jesus, and we talked about his willingness to give everything up, his willingness to surrender all to God and his plan and his will without considering his own plans and dreams worthy of holding on to. And that's the kind of people God's still looking for in this world, people that are willing to submit and surrender to his plan rather than to their own plans. Joseph was willing to lay aside his future hopes and plans so that the will of the Father could be done in his generation as he prepared the way for the Messiah, Jesus. Joseph prepared the way by being obedient and by laying down his life and his plans and his things. He paved the way for Jesus. God wanted Jesus to have a father, an earthly father, to look after him. God wanted Jesus to have a good earthly home where a mother and a father were there to raise him. That's God's plan. Mom, dad, kids, together in a home, raised to serve God, to love God. It's his plan. It's what he wants. And he wanted it for Jesus. But Joseph had to surrender everything for that to happen. We talked a lot about it last week. I don't want to go through it again. But today he's still looking for people who would surrender all of their will to the will of the Father. In our generation, as we prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus, as we just read, right? Living in a way that would honor God so that more people could be drawn to him, more people would come to him, more people would fall in love with him before he returns, because it's not his will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. He wants everyone to turn to him. Not everybody's going to. We have to do our part and show his love to people. So today I want to talk about the shepherds and maybe the wise men if we get to it. But I'm going to start with the shepherds. In Luke 2, verse 8 to 9. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Luke 2 if you'd like. Luke 2. Everybody there? There? That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. Wouldn't you be terrified, seriously? I mean, look, we read this stuff, and we just don't even really pay attention. But if, like, so, you know, Brian, he's out in the field planting his garlic, driving his tractor, and he's just, like, minding his own business in his Kubota, and all of a sudden, like, the whole sky is full of angels, and they're talking to him. I'd be like, need to wipe. This is scary. This is terrifying. This is just like people doing their job, minding their own business, and then all of a sudden. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Again, pleased. God wants us to, we should want to be pleasing to God. And when the angels have returned to heaven, the angels said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So if we're going to think about the shepherds and their role in the Christmas story, here's a few things I want to think about. Just give me a second here. Sorry. Shepherds were just ordinary people that were trying to make a living. That's one thing we have to understand about the shepherds. There's a lot of times that we think if God's going to use anybody, he's going to use the powerful or the anointed or the political or the people of influence. But when we see Jesus coming to the earth, we see the announcement was made to working men in working clothes that smelled like sheep. Right? He didn't come to the rich and powerful and announce his birth. He didn't go to the priests in the temple and announce his birth. He didn't go to the Sanhedrin and say, Jesus is born. He went to the working man in the field, in his working clothes, doing his working thing, trying to get by and make a living. That's what he did. He went to them first. He went to the normal people. Are you just an ordinary person? I am. Like, I'm nobody. I'm like Ralph, right? I just was minding my own business when God called me. I was just making a living, and God called out to me, and he led me into a life of service to him. But if you're ordinary today, God's calling you. God's announcing this power and this birth to you. Often people in the middle of society are the ones that are left out the most. I remember when we were probably about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 10, maybe 12. We were doing like servant evangelism. We were out raking leaves in the community. And I always felt like we should go to areas of middle income people. Because so many times the poor get served and so many times the rich get kissed up to. But so many times the people that are going to work every day don't ever get served. They're always the ones that are expected to serve, always the ones who are expected to give, always the ones who are called upon to serve others. So I always felt like we should go serve those people. And it was really impactful when we did it. Because I remember this one guy, his name was Mr. Hart. He was actually a teacher in school when I was in school. And we were raking his leaves up. And he said to us, like, well, let me pay you. And I'm like, no, we're not. We're not taking money. We just want to serve you today. We want to just let you know Jesus loves you. No strings attached. And he's like, I can't. No. I'm like, you have to. This is what we're doing. Like, you just can't ruin our day here. We've got to try and serve you. This is what we want to do. Just let us do it. The guy broke out crying. He said, I have served so many times. He said, I've given so much money to charity. I've worked as a volunteer in so many organizations, and nobody has ever done anything for me. He wrote a letter to the editor. We were in the Dunville Chronicle. That was a newspaper from years ago when they still had newspapers. Anyway, but like he wrote about it, and he said, I've never really... And because so many times, as middle-class people, they get neglected and they get put to the side, and all the weight of our culture really rests on them to support the poor and also to support the wealthy. And so many times, those people are the ones who are kind of left on the sidelines waiting for something to happen. And this night 2,000 years ago, the sky lit up and God spoke to the middle class. And I'm not trying to separate classes, but I'm just saying, you know, I know that you people love people and you serve people and you're always the first ones to jump in when somebody needs help and you're always willing to give and to do whatever is needed, but God cares about you. God wants to tell you about his love and about the good news of Jesus. He wants you to embrace that in your heart. He wants you to carry that with passion and fire. God cares about you. He loves you. He was announcing the good news of the Messiah. And he came to the working guy. You know the old saying, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person? It's true, right? Like, I mean, I ask people that got nothing to do something, and it never gets done. But you ask someone who's always busy, it'll get done, guaranteed. On time, delivered, express post, it'll be there, done. And Jesus came to the earth, and God had something he was wanting to get done. And he's speaking to you today. Again, busy people. I look across this room, and I know how busy you all are. But God wants to make an announcement to you that Jesus the Messiah is born, and he's part of your life, and he wants to get to know you. So here's the second thing about the shepherds. The shepherds took the next step by pressing into an experience with Jesus. They took the next step. They didn't just hear about Jesus from the angels, but they took another step. The shepherds weren't just satisfied by hearing about Jesus, even though it was from a heavenly host. Like, that was pretty cool, right? Like, how many of you, like, I think about Paul on the road to Damascus. That would be pretty, like, pretty mind-numbing and pretty life-changing and pretty, like, wild. If all of a sudden you get knocked on your butt and there's, like, a voice and you go blind and you're like, why are you persecuting me? And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. You know, but, like, all that stuff, this is all pretty cool, right? But they didn't just stop there. They weren't happy with an experience with an angel. They weren't happy just hearing about Jesus, but they decided to take the next step and go see Jesus for themselves, to get to know him for themselves, to have a personal experience with him. And here's the thing I worry about in church life. We hear about Jesus, and sometimes we're just satisfied with hearing about him. But he wants us to get to know him. He wants us to press further into a relationship with him. Those shepherds on that morning, they didn't just lay around in the field going, oh, that was cool. Look, the angels, Jesus. I wonder if that'll happen. That was pretty cool. You know, like, they didn't just act that way, but they got up. They left their sheep, and they went after Jesus. They went to see him where he was at. God's still looking today for people that will not be satisfied with hearing about Jesus, but will passionately pursue a relationship with him. Are you willing to passionately pursue a relationship with him? It takes work. It takes discipline. It takes time. It takes energy. But it's worth it. It's one thing to know about Jesus, but it's another thing completely to seek him out, to stand in his presence and have him manifest himself to you. I don't know, like, I've had encounters with Jesus. I have. I've had times where I knew he was in the room. I knew he was with me. I knew he was touching my life. I know these days when I take my time and I get into a place of worship where I'm singing with the fruit of my lips, giving thanks to the Lord, that there's just an abiding presence of the Lord in my life. This is what he wants for us. He didn't want us to just hear about him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to, if we don't know him, how are we going to share with others? If we don't really believe in the goodness of God and the love of God and the way God changes lives, how are we going to share that with others? And it's not because God doesn't want us to. He wants us to experience him in that way. What I'd like for Christmas, by the way, is to not cry all the time. Can you work that out for me? Because I hate it. But anyway, Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, for I know the purposes which I am purposing for you, says Jehovah. Purposes of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you shall call on me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is an aggressive walk with God. This is not just a passive thing. When we want to
get to know God. It's taking the next step and going after God, connecting with God, spending time with Him, investing in time with Him. I know the struggle. I'm a pastor. I get caught up in the busyness of life. I sometimes struggle to get my time in with God every day. I got to be honest. It's a passionate pursuit that we need. It's not going to come if you just sort of say, well, we'll see what happens. It happens when we commit to serving Him and following Him and pursuing Him. It's not easy. There's so many things in this world that will distract us. If our enemy gets any clue that we want to get closer to God, he's going to do everything he can to pull us away. But the Bible promises if we take a step toward Him, He'll take a step toward us. If we take another step toward Him, He'll take another step. And if we keep stepping toward Him, no matter what, neither life nor death nor angels or principalities nor anything can keep us out of that relationship, out of the love of God. But the shepherds couldn't stay by the fire that night if they wanted to go into a relationship with God. They had to get up and they had to do something. I'm going to encourage you in this next year to live life in His presence. That's what our year is going to be about, living in His presence. But it's not going to happen by being passive. This is going to happen when we get aggressive in our walk with God, when we get committed to a life with Him, when we walk zealously before Him. This is really the key to living a life that is at peace with God, in love with God. It will fire up your relationship with God, and it will do to you what it did to those shepherds. It will make you a witness to everyone that you meet. The shepherds, number three, shared the good news with everyone they came across. So in Luke 2, we're going to reread that, verse 17 to 20. It says, after seeing Him, Jesus, the baby, laying in the manger, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. What did the angel say to them about the child? Do you remember? This is what he said. Let's go back. He said, went back too far. I have it here somewhere. All right, said, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in the Bethlehem, the city of David. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And this is Jesus being born. He said, this is the announcement, the Savior. This is the one that all of the Israelites, the Jews have been looking for years. The Messiah, they knew who it was, right? It was what Ed read about earlier, wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, right? And the government of His peace will be enduring forever, and He'll live. So this is what they were announcing to Him that night. They were announcing this to the shepherds, and they went and told everybody that would listen, that Jesus was born. The promise of God that He was going to come and set us free is now on the planet. The ship has landed. It's here. We're in that day now. That day, we talk about that day that was prophesied by Joel. Then in that day, they were living in that day. And now we're going to live in that day too, right? But we need to be excited about God. And we can't just fake it. Faking excitement stinks. It's boring. It's stupid. It's crazy. But when we get excited and fired up about God, we're going to just share it with people. So this, they told everything the angel had said about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Have you heard anything? Have you seen anything? If you haven't, you need to get with God. I'm going to tell you, when you get with God, when you're in His presence, you're going to hear things and you're going to see things that you've never seen before. I tell you, like in my lifetime, I've seen so many lives changed. I've seen so many people's lives transformed. I've seen God do so many miracles. I've seen people give like extravagant gifts to each other. Just like people in need receiving from God, right, things that they needed. I've seen people healed of such horrible things. I've seen God bring peace in situations that there was no possible way there could be peace in. I've seen God transform lives. I've seen people that were going so far away from God come and turn toward Him, and their lives were transformed. I believe in the power of God, but we have to know that so we can go tell everybody what we saw and what we heard. That's, by the way, what a witness is, right? A witness tells what they saw and what they heard, right? So you go to court, they say, what did you see? What did you hear? They don't ask you for your interpretation of it. Actually, if you try and start interpreting it, they tell you, that's enough, stop it. That's just your own ideas. But God just wants us to tell what we saw and what we heard. Jesus did not come just to impact the wealthy or the poor or the middle class, but He came so that the relationship between God and man could be restored. That we could now cry out, right? Daddy, Daddy. Father. Abba, right, is the word. Like, it's like when you see a little child, you know, sitting in their father's lap and they go, Daddy, right? Little girl. Like my sister used to play that game with my dad, right? Daddy, right? Even when she was like 15 and 16 and we were going to get in trouble and she didn't want to. Daddy, right? Like, but that's it. Daddy, right? Like, this is intimate. This is drawing on the relationship when we say Daddy. This is not just like, you know, oh, Father, this is Daddy. This is intimate. And God wants us to be intimate. He wanted to tear down the walls that were keeping us separated from Him and make it so that now we could have an intimate relationship with God. He wants us to have that. He wants us to have that. Truth is, relationship with God and fellowship with God is available to us, each and every one of us. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to know the love of God and accept that free gift. The thing is, though, that people will never hear unless someone tells them. I read the story once. I was just trying to look it up the other day. But about this old guy. He's like in his 70s. Tough guy. Been in and out of jail his whole life. Right? He was a really tough old guy. And he came to church because his neighbor asked him to come to church with him. He came. And the preacher asked him, so after all these years, the guy gave his heart to the Lord in that service that day. And the preacher says, how come you never came to church before this? He said, well, no one ever asked me. No one ever asked me. Sometimes we walk by people every day and we think, oh, man, it'd be really good for them to get to know God. But sometimes we just never ask. They say that over 80% of people that come to Christ come because someone invited them. Not because of the preacher, not because of the worship team, not because of the sign out by the road, not because of all good advertising, not because we all wear the same color on the stage and we look nice, not because any of that. Someone's phone. Oh. All right, well, we needed a little bit of tension gone from here. So, anyway, oh man, gotta love church. So anyway, here we are. God wants a relationship with us. He's calling us into a relationship with Him, but we need to step into it. And now that we're in it, let's get deeper in it. And as we get deeper into it, we can share that with others and invite others into it. This is what it says, Mark 16, verse 15. To 18, it's called the Great Commission or the Great Commandment. Jesus said, go into all the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and to all. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever refuses will be damned. That's a sad verse. Whoever refuses will be damned. It's not really very good. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. And then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and He sat down beside God in the place of honor. And the disciples went everywhere preaching, the Master working right with them. validating the message with them with indisputable evidence, right? So they went, once they heard that what the command was, they went everywhere and they preached the good news. Christmas morning was a lot about us getting into a relationship with God. And it was about us taking that relationship seriously. And it was about spreading that relationship with others. We're here 2,000 plus years past the birth of Jesus. We've seen two millenniums pass by. 120 men in the upper room on that first Pentecost morning. And today, over 2 billion professing Christians are in the world. The gospel is growing. It's growing quickly. But even saying that 2 billion are born again in the world, there's 7 billion people, 5 billion people don't know him, and we need to get the news out. We are like those angels on that morning that said, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. It's our responsibility. It's our call in this generation. It's our call in this generation to be serious about our walk with God. It's our call in this generation to go the extra step and to go after him and pursue him, pursue his presence, pursue his life, pursue his a relationship with him. And then it will well up within us to share that good news with others. I'm not going to go into the wise men, but let's just take your Bible out and read. Like, there's so many interesting things you could read if you just slow down a little bit. You want to say something? Yes, go ahead.
The first one goes exactly with what Pastor Elf is preaching about getting to know God. When I was spending time with the Lord last night, I saw a wrinkled shirt. It was rolled up in a ball. It was severely wrinkled, just sort of thrown there. And I thought, what is that all about? Well, I felt like the Lord said that wrinkled shirt is like people's lives, all wrinkled and ruts. And you see that shirt laying there, and you think, oh, I was going to wear that shirt. Oh, it's in the ironing. I can't be bothered doing that right now. And it really wouldn't take you that long to get it out and iron it up and wear it. And so you leave it there, and then the next little while later you think, oh, where was that shirt? Oh, yeah, it's in the ironing. I've never, you never quite get to it. But what I felt the Lord say is if you take the iron and you just used it and ironed one wrinkle out, it would be like going into the Word, reading the Word, and saying, what does the Word say about healing? And you iron that one wrinkle out, and then suddenly your road is smooth in that area. And what does the Word say about finances? And you take your iron and you iron that next wrinkle out, and the Lord shows a smooth road to finances. And the water in your iron is like the Word, the washing of the water of the Word, and the Word is applied then to that garment, and eventually it becomes smooth. And instead of you living in a life that everything seems so hard, it's such a rough road in every area, just take a few minutes, like Pastor, everything he was saying, take a few minutes and look into the Word and find out, what does the Word say about this particular situation? And then instead of having a rough road before you, you'll have a smooth road. You know, we're supposed to have a blessed life as Christians, not a rough, hard life. So, and the road will go smooth before you. That was that part. But can I say the other? The other part was seen more... Anyway, more important. But I was praying about that we would open our hearts today and to receive healing in areas in our life. And I prayed that we'd receive healing in, we'd receive the healing in our bodies, we'd receive the healing in our minds, and we'd receive the healing in our relationships. And as soon as I said relationships, I saw this woman standing as if she opened the door. And as soon as I said relationship, she ran, gone, inside. And I thought, well, what is that, Lord? And the next picture was that same that same woman in a wheelchair. And God said, her life has become crippled because she won't allow me to work in relationships in her life and heal those relationships. And because of that, her whole life has become crippled. And that's for somebody here today. God's speaking to you. He wants you to let him into those areas. You opened the door. That was a nice thing. That was a good thing. But as soon as he wanted to work on that relationship, you didn't shut the door, so the door is still open, but you walked away. But you just need to walk closer to the Lord and let him heal those relationships.
So a lot of times we try to do stuff in our own strength, right? We try and do everything by force of will. But really, I mean, the force of will part is in our relationship with God. Our force of will is to keep walking and keep opening the door and keep allowing him in and keep pursuing him. But the problems that we have and the struggles that we have, if we just pursue that relationship with God by the force of our will, then he'll deal with all that. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. So if that's you this morning, if that was you that you really feel like you've been closing the door on God healing relationships in your life, just take a step. Make a step toward him. So I'm going to close in prayer this morning. We're going to have a fellowship time in the cafe, and it's going to be a good time. But if you need prayer this morning, I want you to ask someone at a table that's with you to ask them to pray for you this morning, okay? Because I really believe that we're all able to pray, and we all have the same power flowing through us and the same authority that Jesus gave us. So, Lord, we come this morning. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that we could hear your word. Thank you that we could, Lord, grow from it. Lord, that it could change us. And, Lord, we just... I